Parnasim, the Parnas of Shavua, is Julia and Baruch Sal, the Ilu Nishmas Yeshua ben Yitzchak Nishom Shalom and Ali, and whole family Shalom Yisimcha Nachas and Brocha. And I also want to thank, Dalia and Jackie Berman, sponsoring that Hashem is a Haidot HaKadosh Baruch Hu for showing his loving kindness on the Sech Shabbachol, even when on the Sech of Tavis Sech Shabbachol, 8 Arab Boker, but Shabbat Shalom, if Simcha Nachas, and good health, Brochem. Okay, this will be the final Limud of Pach Yitzchak before Yontiv. Maimer Lamed Vav. Okay, this would also be an ace if it's possible to fit all of this into such a short time. I don't think it's possible, but I'll try to get as far to close to the end and then to finish it off maybe Balpa a little bit outside. The Rambam tells us there's something, we see this already in Chazal and Pekovis, this Metzias that's called the crown of Torah, Keser Torah. Now, that was mostly taken up by institutions to use for honorees, the Keser Torah award, but there is really something that's called Keser Torah. What is Keser Torah? The Rambam says, Mishu Watsa Lisko Bekeser Torah, Yizar B'chol Leilosav. A person who wants to be Zeicha, thank you, I'm sorry, Yosef. A person who wants to be Zeicha to acquire this Keser Torah has to be careful all of his nights. Le'yavid Afil Echad Mehem, not to lose any of his nights. V'sheinav, Achilu, Shasiya, wasting his time sleeping, eating, drinking, V'cheitzeba, El B'tal Mater V'Divri Chachma. It doesn't mean he doesn't get any sleep at all, but it means that the person takes the night, and instead of using it completely as a time of sleeping and of resting, the night becomes a time of learning. He transforms the usual character of the night, which we'll see at the end, which is for sleeping and resting. He makes it into a time of learning. This person, not just once a year, not just by Shavuos, but the whole time, this is a person who has the Keser Torah. Tola Rambam, so Rashiv explains that Tola Rambam has Chia Bekisu Shal Torah B'Shmir Zalelos. To reach this level that's called Keset Torah, it depends on Shmiras Alelos, guarding and using well one's evenings, one's nights. Divrei Torah Mekapati Shavaitzesel V'Chidush Shal Rambam Yetzi L'Kam Etamam V'Nikot Miachad. Let's learn to try to understand on a deeper level what the Rambam is telling us. Shtei Rishuyis Hein B'Chayev Shal Odom Yisrael. There are two domains in the life of a Jew. Divrei mitzvah v'divrei rishus. There's that domain of mitzvahs, when we're davening, learning, sitting in a sukkah, hearing the shofar, and so on, when we're observing mitzvahs. And then there's divrei rishus, eating, sleeping, and so on. Life outside of the, but that part of life that seems to be outside of the tchum of mitzvah. Divrei mitzvah and divrei rishus. But of course, the tachlis is that everything be done for Hashem's sake. Everything be done to reveal Hashem and to honor Hashem. There's no chutz. There's nothing. There's no exceptions. Everything in life, from morning till night, from the time that we understand to the time that we no longer are capable of understanding, and it's time to leave this world. There's no such thing as anything that's outside of that. World of Hakol Bar Lechvado, that everything in every moment of life, B'chol Drachecha De'ayu, is to serve Hashem. Memela Meshamishu Inyan Zeh Shel Kovet Shemayim Shar Rochav Asher Tzadikim Yovo Ovo. Therefore this Inyan of Kovet Shemayim, of how can I in my life bring more Kovet to Hashem? It's a very broad, wide open gate through which the Tzadikim enter. Lahachnis says, "Kol divrei rishus shelhem," to try to do everything in their lives. Kol divrei rishus, all optional things in life. All divrei rishus. The toich hatchum shel guf hakedusha, and to bring everything into the domain of kedusha. That achila should be bikedusha. Eating should be bikedusha. That ben adam lechaver, everything, a husband, wife, bikedusha. Everything, even where we don't have a specific mitzvah, or there isn't any specific iser. But every moment of that person's life, the tzaddik brings everything into that tchum, into the tchum, into that world of of Kavod Shemayim. Ve'en b'chlal al mashe b'frat, gam b'chlal yis hanhagish shel umah shleim usa. This is something which is true, not only in the life of each individual person, but in the life of Am Yisrael, of the nation. Shaleta si osa chaluka, we also see this division between mitzvah and rishus. Ben hanhagish ha-mitzvah, ben hanhagish ha-rishus. El shakan yaitzim hem shnei sugi hanhagish halalu. But these two realms, these two domains of mitzvah and rishus, are actually embodied in two institutions of Klal Yisrael. Shnei sugim shel shilton, two areas or two types of leadership, of shiltein. V'chol hanhogim yishtei hanhogis halalum yuchedesi b'koch shilton b'fnei atzma, and each hanhoge has its own jurisprudence, its own tchum of leadership and control. In the 11th Jewish, the Ran speaks about this at length. The kol seder anhogim b'merches kim ha-mitzvahs, the whole seder of how Jews are to keep mitzvahs. That was the whole world of tayag mitzvahs, the raises, the rabbanans, and so on. All of that which is under the umbrella of divrei mitzvah, hu b'tchum shel toinah shel Sanhedrin. That's within the domain, and that's under the control and the watchful eye of the Sanhedrin, of the great Beis Din Yerushalayim. Shekein koichah shel Sanhedrin hu b'hayiras haTorah. The job of the Sanhedrin is to see to it that the Torah is being properly observed, is being properly kept. So the Sanhedrin is the shiltein of mitzvah. It's the domain, the tchum, the ruler over the world of mitzvah. Hamutav ha'aser, what's allowed, what's forbidden, hapotav ha'achiyav, and so on, tamei and tahar, hamakudish v'hamachulal, all halacha, tamei, tahar, kodesh, chal, everything is, all that's in halacha is under the control of the Sanhedrin. V'kol zeh nikva l'fi das ha-Sanhedrin, everything is nikva, is established by the das of the Sanhedrin, sh'daitihi das Torah, and the das of the Sanhedrin is the das of Torah. The Sanhedrin decides in the world of Torah, Osir, Mutter, and so on. However, there is another institution, another domain of Divrei Rishus that's in charge of Divrei Rishus. Dahenu ha'achra be'ezet derech yishkan or shel kovet shemaim b'yeser zohar or b'yeser b'hikus. In those areas of life where we don't have clear rulings in halacha, where it's not a matter of Shulchan Aruch, where it's a question of Kavod Shemayim, of expanding the borders of holiness, extending Kedusha, that Kedusha and the Kavod Shemayim should conquer the world of Chol, of that which is plain and simple. Hanhogazu Mesura B'yodo Shel Melech Yisrael. That is the domain of the king, of Melech Yisrael. When they came, Iker Koicha Shel HaMelech Urak B'Hayra Asha. Therefore, the Iker Koach of the king is only when it comes to a temporary injunction, not day-to-day halacha, not regular halachic rulings, but for instance, when it came time for David Malch and his war, how that war should be conducted, where it should be conducted, and so on, Malchus is not within the boundaries of halacha, but it's something which is there in order to see to it that the Or of Hashem extends into Divrei Rishus as much as possible. Ribnei Shahachros, Ribui Kvod Shamayim, Tluihi Behechlein, Betanayim B'matzayim Shalai Sashah. Because the conditions, the circumstances, the opportunities for Kavod Shamayim outside of the realm of halacha, those present themselves from hour to hour, from moment to moment. It's not something that's predictable. These are things in life that come up and decisions that have to be made. More b'taras haraz shah, as a temporary decision, a temporary ruling for that time in order to bring more Kavod Shemayim into that situation, where there is no clear hachra in halacha how this should go. Ulumazeh, Iker Karchem Shel Sanhedrin Hudavka by Royal Adoros. On the other hand, the Horah, the instructions and the rulings of the Sanhedrin are ledoros, are permanent, are for all generations. That's halacha. Shekein kol ha-psakim b'merachas kim ha-mitzvos ledoros nitnu. All of those psakim are for all future generations. V'hayinira l'chayra she'esh kan l'fenenu shnei sugim chulakim shakar hadas. So it would seem that we have here two completely different types and perhaps conflicting types of koach hadas, of a way of making decision making, of thinking. Koach echadah shalit b'seid amarach shal guf ha-kedusha. The koach of the Sanhedrin is a koach of das and hachra, of decision making within the world of kedusha, in the dalat amos of halacha. Is this kosher? Is it not kosher? Is this also on Shabbos? Is this printed on Shabbos? And so on. V'koach sheni, ha-sholot b'hachnosis divrei ha-reshus l'tchum ha-kedusha. Whereas Malchus, the Melech, is responsible to make decisions moment by moment, hour by hour, whatever, as things arise that have to do with areas that have not been decided in halacha. But divrei, the question of ha-chnosis divrei ha-reshus l'tchum ha-kedusha. The possibility of taking advantage of this particular situation that's divrei reshus and bringing it into the tchum of kedusha. I will call zehurak halachayra. All of this is only on the surface, that these seems to be two completely separate or perhaps conflicting reshuyos. Elul shalakusha de milsa. However, the Roshiva says the truth is bevade shena dava kain. Where do we see that this separation evaporates or disappears? Because in halacha itself, there's halacha that's kovas, that establishes that the king, there can only be a king, and it's the only monarchy that's legitimate if it's appointed, only if it's appointed by the Sanhedrin. That means that the Hayras Shah of the Melech is ultimately determined by, it goes back to the decision that's made by the Sanhedrin of this person being king. So that's the meaning of Ein Ma'amid Melech El Ha'pi Sanhedrin. Claimer. B'chlal Yusa Sheshleima Sa'uma. As far as the Shleimas of the Jewish people. Novasi Das Achra B'divrei Reshus. This hachra, this decision-making in the world of Rishus, takes place mitoch das hachra. Really, it comes from, it originates in the das hachra, in the koach of das, of beguf hakdusha, next page, shel mareches kima mitzvos. Its point of origin is in the world of kedusha itself, in the world of the Sanhedrin. Ein ma'amid melech, el al pi Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is Mamad the Malchus. It means that the koch of Malchus is from the Sanhedrin, and that doesn't only mean to establish it, but it means it's continuously being infused from the Sanhedrin into the existence of Malchus, and allows the Melech to make certain decisions regarding areas that are not strictly within the boundaries of Shulchan Aruch, to make decisions, which common sense, but divrei reshus, that can be brought into the tchum of kedusha. Vafa pishi hi poeles b'tzur miyuchedes lo. Even though, of course, the malchus functions according to its own rules, as the Rambam lays out in Hilchos Melachim. Mikol makom, nevertheless, ha-ma'ayan ashem yimenu hi yonekes es kocha, the wellspring from which the monarchy, Malchus Yisrael, draws its koach, Eino Elo Oisa Hadas or Shaletis Betchum Shal Etzem HaKedusha, is the das that is ruling over Kedusha itself. B'merches Kim HaMitzvos, the world of Kim HaMitzvos, HaNikvas, Mitoch Gufei Halochis, that is established by Halocha itself, HaOimdim B'Mesreus Netuim Midol Adar, that are established and fixed from generation to generation, V'kol HaRayaseha L'Doros Olam Nitnu, and all of the haros, all of the rulings of the Sanhedrin, of Halocha, are permanent, are forever. Gimel. Va'afo pisha b'derach klal, mishtam shem b'moshal mechaya prat b'chdei l'hazbera yodo ezem ala b'chaya klal. Even though usually we use a moshal from the individual's life in order to explain what's going on in the larger picture, Mikol Mokom Matzonu Lenochen Litzoid Kam Bederach HaHafucha. However, Rav Shiva says we're going to go in the opposite direction here. V'shtamashnu b'mahalach halakuch michai heuma, and we are using a mahalach that we find by the nation, by Am Yisrael. Lahazbe, in order to explain al yodo as a kav hamakbil lo b'chayi hayochid, in order to explain what's taking place in the life of an individual Jew. So we're going, instead of the usual way, which is to look at something which is more of a micro way of looking at the moshul in a person's life, and then trying to use that to understand the bigger picture here, the Rosh Yeshiva says we're going from these two institutions of Sanhedrin and Malchus and the Melech in order to understand our own personal individual lives. How? Kila kushta de milsa gam b'chal yachid, because the truth is that in every individual Jew, in every individual person, there are shnei koiches hadas po'olim heim. There are two types of das. There are two koiches of das that are at work. B'kivunim shonim. Different directions. Kol sug shel das b'shvil hamiuchelo. And each type of das is working in its own way. Da'das hamachriya b'she'elos hanolados b'kima mitzvos. There's the decisions that we're making all the time, or looking up, or asking a question, and so on, to know what's the halacha. What does Shulchan Aruch have to say? What does the Rav have to say? What does the Posek have to say? What's the din? Each one of us has that part of our lives that we have to know and we have to keep. Yesh la halachas kivuos lodin alpiyam. There are clear halachas of how to prepare the food for Shabbos, and how to take care of to get ready for Pesach, v'chule v'chule. That's one area of das in the life of an individual person. But what about divrei rishus? What about how you play softball on a Sunday morning or a Memorial Day, like, you know, how you conduct yourself, or what, or should you be having that game right now, or is this something which is becoming of a Jewish male adults or whatever to be playing softball at this time? It's a question. It's not so clear in halacha how to determine such a thing. A person certainly is required to take care of himself, to exercise, to take care of himself. On the other hand, does that mean it's acceptable for a person to spend, you know, 2.5 hours screaming and yelling and chasing after a wall, whatever it might be? Which is question whether that's really such exercise, you know, with the exception of one or two people, you know. So it's just a silly example, but there are a million examples in life of divrei rishus. It's not divrei rishus. You want to go out to eat. To go out to eat. It's not a question of kashrus. Kashrus is the job of that part of das, that what? Of mitzvah. That's the Sanhedrin inside of us. The Sanhedrin inside of us has to check, is this kosher? Okay. Then you check if it's kosher. That's the Sanhedrin. But now the question is this an appropriate place for me to be? Is this the right way to use my time? V'chule v'chule. There are examples all the time in life. When you're talking to a kid and how you're raising your family, we don't have a Shulchan Aruch that's clear in these areas. It's divrei rishus. But a serious Jew wants to use these moments as a way to be marbe kvod shamayim. That this should be a way of also serving God. When I take my kid to the game, or if I'm going out to eat. This is the tachlis of our lives is b'chol drachecha de'eyu. Every moment of life is kovet shemayim. That's an ovet Hashem. So we have these two brains. We have this in heaven part of us, and we have the melech part of us. Divrei mitzvah and divrei rishus. Shu'achro ben hatzdadim. Ezet zad olhu b'yosel atzmiach mitocha ribu kovet shemayim. How, in divrei rishus, what can I do at this moment to increase Kavod Shemayim in the world? Is this going to increase or decrease Kavod Shemayim? A person's asked, you know, could help with something, a committee in shul or in the yeshiva, whatever it is. There's so many areas of rishus. And then the question is this going to bring to ribui Kavod Shemayim? Is this going to expand the borders of holiness in the world? Or is it going to, chalila, cause there to be a shrinking of those borders? The lefamim Kavod Shemayim is rabbi biyoser. Here's the biggest question of all when it comes to going to work. Hishtadlus and bitachon, right? This is the biggest problem. I have enough to live. I have enough to manage. We're able to pay the mortgage. I have what to eat. So maybe I should stop learning now. Maybe I should stop working. I should just sit and learn. There's enough to manage. So what about working in order to help other people with their needs? What about working in order to have a nicer home, to live in a better neighborhood, to be able to afford to go an aliyah, whatever it is? So this is a huge question of, am I working too hard? I'm putting in every day 10 hours. Maybe I could survive. Maybe I could take care of the family on 7 hours. And we don't have to live in such a nice house. So we can live in a different place and we can manage. And maybe I should be using that time for learning. These decisions of bitachon and nishtadlus. L'famam kovet shemayim esrabu b'yoyser, aydan hogesh bitachon. With certain people at that time in life, maybe there'll be more kovet shemayim by using what? The bitachon of saying, I don't have to go to work all the time. I can work less. And I'll trust in Hashem. And I'll spend more time being mabek kovet shemayim in the Beis Medrash, whatever. L'famam ban hogesh shel hachna. Sometimes there's a question of, in this particular situation, should I be machnia myself? Should I humble myself in this particular situation and be quiet? Or would it be my b'kvod shemayim, if there's something that took place that's wrong, that I should speak up? I should speak up in this situation. Something has taken place in shul or in the community that's wrong. I believe this is a disgrace to Hashem. Is it my place? Is this the time that I should take an active role and do something about this and speak up and get involved? Or is it a time to not finish chayin, not to do that, but to take a back seat, to be quiet? V'chadoyma, hachrozu, these hachroz, is this something that I'm good at? Is this something that Hashem wants of me this month? There's no halacha that's telling you to go right now to do this or do that. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. More and more, I mentioned this the other day in Chabur last week, more and more I see this all the time. This has been going on now for the last 30, 40, 50 years or so, where people more and more are relying less on their own koach of das, their own hachra, they're relying less on their own malchus, and they run to rabbi for every single decision. You know, they ask Rabbi Shah, is it okay for me to go out to eat tonight with my wife? These are questions that are being asked now. Kilu, this is the inyan. This is within the domain of Shulchan Aruch, as opposed to being your own malchus that you should be taking care of, and you should already be a person that can be machriya in these things to make a decision. But there are people that don't trust themselves, and we'll see why. Ein la halachas kvuos lodin al piyam. In these areas, there are no clear halachas. There are no clear halachas. Like a guy and a girl are dating. They're going out on a date. Okay. The tachlis is, we're not talking about the stam 14-year-old. They're old enough to get married. They're going on a date because they're interested in getting married. We don't have anything in Shulchan Aruch, the halachas of dating. There's no halachas of dating. So a bach will ask me, should I say, you look pretty? Is it okay for me to say that? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. So where are you going to find that in a sefer someplace? Kuntras Binyan Amira At Yofa Le Bachura. I mean, it'll probably come out soon, but... Yeah. With footnotes and with... There's no Shulchan Aruch on how to go dating. And I tell this also, you have a guy to go, they get engaged. So they come to, what in the Gedarm? I said, no halachas. It means you have to be Yirei Shemayim, you have to be God-fearing and to figure it out. Be God-fearing. There are certain things that are obviously halachas. Obviously, there are halachas also about how they conduct themselves. But in terms of how much time, so they come to say, we're engaged, Rabbi, how many times a week should we see each other? There's no psak in this thing. How many times should the guy and the girl see each other a week if they're dating? How long are we allowed to talk on the phone? But there are people who are talking about these things, ki'ilu there are halachas. Like you'll find now, somebody, I have a girl will tell me, well, I feel tremendous pressure to get engaged. I said, why? Well, we went out 7 times, and I was told in seminary or someplace that 7 times is the maximum. But then you have to decide either to get married or not to get married. Yeah, you could show me, could you ask this menahelus or mechanechus to show me where did she see that halacha, that after 7 times you turn into a pumpkin or something? Where did that come from, this halacha? Where's the achra? There are some people I would say 3 times for you is already enough, and other people say you need 30 times. It depends. It has to be coming from a place, it has to originate from the Sanhedrin inside of you. That malchus of a Jew has to come from a place that's filled with Torah, obviously, to make those decisions. But these are moment by moment. It's not just common sense. It's a sense that is nurtured by in the life of a God-fearing Jew who studies Torah. It's not common sense. It's that you can't just ask a poyer, a peasant, what do you think about this? This is something that requires a Sanhedrin in the background, in the upbringing, in order to have that malchus of kedusha. But these are not questions that, and people going now, they every single thing, you know, every single thing to go and to ask. I mentioned last week that somebody was asking about Aaron Leif Steinmetz about whether or not you have to get up for the kid who's crying. Do you get up for the kid who's crying? Is that going to spoil the kid? Or do you let? And Rabbi Aaron Leif was nispol in the way, I'm not going to go into what he answered, but he was my mission, nispol from the fact that a person is coming to ask these questions and doesn't have a koch of das to be machvi in his own bezdin, in his own malchus, in his head, in that place of who he is, to be able to make a decision. But there's no halach in this inyan. For one kid, that's what Rabbi Aaron Leif said. You know, you're asking me, though, some nights you have to get up, some nights you don't get up. You want to have a psak. Don't get up for your kid. Why? So Rabbi Aaron Leif, so I explained the other day, Rabbi Aaron Leif is saying because people are intellectually lazy. They don't want to think. And everybody wants to have us or mutter. Yes or no? Tell me, yes or no, right, wrong, good, bad. Everything should be a psak of the Sanhedrin. But Hashem created within us a thing that's called malchus. And it's important for a Jew to be a melech. And that malchus means think. Think. These things change from moment to moment. One kid you need to get up for. Another kid could cry a little bit. Everything is different. It's not Sanhedrin-dik. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a halacha. There's no Shulchan Aruch. This is a hachra that takes place in the chush that a Jew has, a healthy chush that a Jew has. That's called malchus, the malchus of a person. So v'kan higan la'ois ha-shetach, dalad. V'kan higanu la'ois ha-shetach ha-shebo yitzor kol yochid v'yochid la'hake b'echu b'rua. Kein mamid melech al-pi Sanhedrin. Now here's where we get back to this melech al-pi Sanhedrin. I mentioned a moment ago that it's not just a matter of common sense. The melech has to be al pi Sanhedrin. It was these two institutions in Klal Yisrael and in the person's brain. They're not separate. The malchus has to be built upon the Sanhedrin. Its power, its energy source, it all comes from the Sanhedrin inside the head. Yesh kan chayvus hakara mutelus al kol yachid leidan emana ki ein hadas amachvia b'mareches divrei rishus bailus panosu or bailus mezainus mishala. A person has to know that making these decisions, it's not just a matter of taking a shot at it, just a wild guess. The ability for a Jew to make healthy decisions that are marbe kvod shemaim in this world, in his personal malchus of life, going out, playing ball, taking care of the kids, getting up at night, all of those things, those decisions come ultimately are traced back to this person having a strong, healthy Sanhedrin of years of learning Torah, of years of an upbringing of Yiras Shamayim and Dveikus B'Hashem. Al pi hara l'darish shel kol hadina mekol halachas shebetorah. Hadas shel hara shel smuchi behechlet al shulchan shel hadas shel hara sanetzach. This das of the king, which is Horash Shah, which is for the moment a decision by this moment, the Horash Shah, a temporary injunction, this is based upon and depends upon that ability that presence of das of Horash HaNetzach of Sanhedrin, of Horash HaNetzach, of Halacha, that the person has. Therefore, the Rashi explains. It's very, very clear. We're not talking here just about common sense, something teva. There's not something which is teva. I mentioned the other night in the Shiur to the women that the Kotzker, everybody came to ask the Kotzker everything in their lives, and they came to ask the Kotzker, even there's a whole famous thing from the Baal Tanya, when the letters of the Baal Tanya, and the Hakdama of the Tanya, about people coming to him with asking questions about Gashmis. But Lamaisa, there was somebody that asked the Kotzker, Rabbi, I understand, people come in here all day long, and they're asking you questions about business, and everybody knows the Rebbe himself doesn't even touches a pruta, doesn't have anything to do with money. In other words, you're giving advice to people, Jews and even non-Jews used to come to him for all kinds of advice about business, and they said, but Rebbe, I mean, you never went to Wharton's business school, you know, you don't know anything about business. So the Kotzker says, Adrabba, that's why I'm muksha to do that. Because those who are in something cannot possibly make a clear judgment. Only if you're outside. I'm outside of Eidel Mazeh, therefore I can look in to Eidel Mazeh and see it clearly. Those of you who are stuck in Eidel Mazeh, you can't possibly see it in the way that's honest and it's clear. That's what he said. I see it from that perspective of from above, from beyond. You're caught up in it. And since you're caught up in it, You might think that you're making every decision of your life that's based upon Torah and is based upon Yiras Shamayim, and you're fooling yourself. You're just fooling yourself. I don't care about money. It means nothing to me. And therefore, I'm able to observe from the outside. I'm able to see this. So this is not just common sense. Nigilas Madrega B'Torah, Hakri Asuke Shmaitz Aliv Dehilchasa, Hu Verakhu, Hu Agev, Hu Kam Ol, Sheesh Lo Hormon of the Malka. I'm going to talk about this in Mishnah Mishuvos night in a different way, but it really it's a continuation of this. Only a person who is living in that world of Asuke Shmaitz Aliv Dehilchasa, who is deeply connected to learning halacha, learning Torah, not just theoretical Torah, but also Aliv Dehilchasa. He learns and he applies his learning to Lamaisa, to halacha. Lias Neman Bahachroasa. His hachros, his decisions, are clear. Such a person can make clear decisions, like the Kotzker, even when it comes to things that are not necessarily spelled out in halacha. In other words, his mind, this person's mind, has been upgraded. It's no longer just a mind of divrei rishus. It's no longer a mind of chol. It's no longer just a matter of this person's common sense. This person looks at everything in life through the eyes of Torah. Everything he looks at, everything he sees through the eyes of Torah. Whether it's divrei mitzvah or whether it's divrei rishus. And the only way it's possible to have such eyes is because he has spent years and years in that world of the Sanhedrin, in that world of Kedusha, in the world of Torah and mitzvahs. As conditions change, there are things that don't apply that a year ago, 2 years ago. I remember years ago, if somebody would come to ask me, which happened very often, someone would come to ask me, I have a cousin who's not religious, and they're having a wedding. And it's being conducted by a reformed rabbi, or something like that. And, you know, the family's going to be very upset if I don't go to the wedding. All the relatives and my parents are not religious, because you know, they're going to be upset if I don't go to this wedding. So 20 years ago, the response to this was usually, well, you'll have to excuse yourself, and you'll have to try to work things out with the family. You can't be present at such a time. Very few people are giving such instructions like that nowadays. Very, very few people. The same way that we all grew up hearing about legends about when someone married out that they sat Shiva, right? You ever hear anybody sitting Shiva now? No, because it doesn't work. The Chazon Ish already wrote about that in the beginning of Yerodeya. But once upon a time, there was such a thing that in order to strengthen halacha, there would be a din of Marid V'lamal, that there'd be some kind of a heretic, and he would fall into a pit, and you would let him die over there. But it's a bit, because that was a way of increasing Kavod Shamayim, because then people had more fear of God, because the Jewish people, at that point of time in history, that was something that increased the fear of God and a connection to Hashem. But the Chazon Ish says that nowadays that will only turn the Jewish people away from God, if you leave some Jew dying in a pit. It doesn't work. There are many things that are like that. And you always have some of the old holdouts when it comes to certain areas that they're screaming and they're yelling, like while the boat is sinking and they're standing there holding, like screaming out something from 1924, this is how we did it, and this is what I saw about this 18-year-old under the water with the children, with the grandchildren, all everybody's finished, done. And it wasn't an Indian halacha. We're not talking about whether there's muktzah, it's not muktzah. We're talking about whether or not you should show up at that wedding. Again, I'm not saying a klal either, because all of the situations with families are different. I'm just using this as an example. There's no klal that you can't, nowadays they can't, or if somebody marries out, that you should absolutely have no shaykhs, never talk to again, never invite over, never anything to do with. There was a time that such a mahalach worked. The whole tachlis was to be ma'abek v'ad shemaim, which means what? If there was a Jewish kid, or to bring this person back, or maybe if they would see that they're being isolated by the family, that they would drop the guy, right? That doesn't happen anymore. They're not dropping the guy. That just alienates, that pushes them further away now. It doesn't work. Anybody tells you that they were successful, it's not true. It doesn't work. It doesn't. It could be maybe in certain Hasidic circles or very Svardish or very ice, you know, insulated. It could be, but it's not a mahalach anymore. It's not a mahalach anymore. It doesn't work. The point is, we don't have a halacha regarding this particular situation, whether you should invite this person to dinner or not, or whether or not you could show up at their simcha. We don't have a halacha like that. If there are some halachas, but there's no halacha. Should I? Shouldn't I? It's a question of malchus, of being ma'abek v'ad shemayim. But these are big decisions. And it's not just a matter of common sense. It's not just a matter of common sense. We're talking about, can I use this as an opportunity, let's say by going to this wedding, that there are going to be other non-religious relatives or other non-religious Jews, that they're going to see a religious person coming and showing affection and love to the rest of the family, and ma'arek v'ad shemayim. He could be ma'arek v'ad shemayim. But these are big decisions. To bring this into Kedusha, to conquer some new territory for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring this area of Rishus into the domain of Kedusha. The Kesha Zeb ben Korach Hadas la'achriya b'dover she'yesh bo halochis kvus, or ben Korach Hadas la'achriya b'dover she'kol ha'diyun bo eno tolui elba be'umdana, umdana, estimation, v'shikol hadas. So shikol hadas, it's an estimation, it's not clear. B'hargoshes ha'metzias, how to touch up this mitzias, how to touch up the situation of this family wedding, this non-religious wedding. How to touch this situation up? How to define this mitzias? Keshezeh ben shnei sugei das alalu ein achok michukei teva. This is not something that's a chok michukei teva. In other words, it's not just a matter of common sense, of logic. And that's where you'll find that there are very smart people that could be terribly, terribly mistaken in these areas of their very rishus. Terribly mistaken. It's something different. It's a segula. I mean, it has its own, it's a different mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah of this world. It's a wonder. Like other wonders of the Torah. This is a wonder. That the Kotzke was doing such a thing. Or you go to in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi David Abu Chatzer Zoguzon Zayin, that the whole world is coming to Rabbi David. This is it's a certain pella in the world of the Lubavitch Rabbi. Try to find one person in the world you could talk to that will, and find whoever you could find whoever went to Lubavitch Rabbi who got bad advice from him. You can't find a person like that. He'll tell you he messed up my life. You can't find a person like that. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. In every area of life. In every area of life. V'chein onu kovim ki koch pele zehu hu kisru shel Torah. So Shiva says, this is called kisru shel Torah. This is the crown of Torah. Now, what does this have to do with what the Rambam said, we learned at the beginning, that in order to get this crown of Torah, you can't lose any of your nights on sleeping and eating and so on, dragging around, you know, watching Saturday Night Live or something. I don't know, that's... That was a show from like 50 years ago. But you can't waste your life. You can't waste your life on those things. You have to guard your evenings. You have to have, the nights have to be used for Kedusha. So what does it have to do with the night? It says, this person who has brought these two institutions together, through years of through years of hard work in the Sanhedrin, and clear Torah thinking, halacha, mitzvah, kedusha, yiras shamayim, avodas Hashem. That is a Sanhedrin that can be that can then be mamed a malchus, a melech, a malchus that can establish a malchus. That's called the crown of Torah, because crown is malchus. That's a melech. A melech wears a crown. Says they rule even over me, right? That it's tzaddik is goyis, because baruch is mekayim. Claimer, who am mamad is a melech habiyas in heaven. So now he explains that this is an absolute pella. This is a wonder. I spoke a little bit about this on Shabbos. That a pella means when you have two things that seem to be contradictory. Kach pella kilamito shodover zayin oisa chusha nitzu beyichlo ira shah. A certain sensitivity that's necessary, what we call common sense, to moment by moment decisions. And that chush that is necessary to be a posek in halacha, they seem to be b'chinas tarta d'asrei. They seem to require different ways of thinking, a whole different perspective. And yet we see that this is the inyan of tzaddikim, of great people. Not all tzaddikim have this, but there are certain very Rabbi Chaim Oizer, Chavetz Chaim, the Imre Emes. I'm just saying, so there are people that had this melech, ein mabin melech al pisan erden, in a very, very clear way, and that's called a pella, like the bracha mafli lasos, that it's a wondrous thing that these two come together. Haras Shah, a temporary the koch to make decisions when it comes to Haras Shah, and the koch to make decisions when it comes to halacha and Haras Netzach, how they come together. Now, what does all this have to do with staying up at night? So we're down to the wire here. He brings the pasuk by the bracha of Yisachar. It says by the bracha of Yisachar, of course, Shevet Yisachar with a big lomdei Torah, with Shevet Yisachar. Not the only ones. Levi was also. And Yehuda, there were also Mechalkike, there were also poskim in Yehuda. But Yisachar with the biggest lomdanim. And what's different about Yisachar is, it says they were yodei bina le'itim. We'll talk about that shuas, Mr. Hashem. That they, bina le'itim means that they had this remarkable ability to make these decisions as things changed, through the different circumstances and conditions of life and of history and so on. Yodei bina le'itim. What was the right thing to do? What was the right thing to do? There's a certain situation where you have a kid, and the kid is screaming that he does not want to stay in this yeshiva. Strictly speaking, this yeshiva, he'll learn more. And things like it looks like in this yeshiva, there's more kedusha, whatever, and the other yeshiva might be more of a might be lighter when it comes to kedusha, but for this kid right now to force him to stay in this yeshiva, it could potentially destroy his entire Yiddishkeit. He's not going to keep anything. So right now I have to make this decision, yodei bina le'itim, to put this kid to another school. Yeah, so her skirt's going to be 2 inches shorter. And it could be that now she's going to, you know, whatever, go to Sweet 16 or something. And that's what she didn't have when she was in the first school. But in doing so, you're going to preserve Eis Las Hashem. Hey, fair to say, you're going to preserve her whole Yiddishkeit that she's going to grow up and want to be a Jew, as opposed to forcing her to stay someplace where she's miserable and angry. And she's going to just go like so many of the girls do, that the second they leave school, they pick up their skirts. And to be a renegade and Chalila, to feel that she's worthless or no good. And that could destroy the whole Yiddishkeit. These are questions that are coming all the time. So Yisachar had this unique ability. And the Torah says about Yisachar, I'm just going to say it outside, this bracha is Vayeshich Melizbal, Vihimas La'ove, Vayamenu Chakitai, Vayeshich Melizbal. That Yisachar saw the good of Menucha, how good Menucha is, and because of that, he bent his shoulders to carry the heavy weight of the burden. So the Rishiv explains as follows. It's very odd. What do you mean? He saw that Menucha was good, and then he worked hard? Usually the people who like Menucha, they work less. What does it mean? He saw, Vayar Menucha Kitai, Vayet Shech Molizbal. So he says there's such a thing in the life of a Jew, that a person's love of Torah is so deep, is so great after years of learning, that love of Torah has become so great that Vayah Menucha Kitov, the greatest pleasure that I could have in my life, the most relaxing and wonderful experience of my life is working like a dog. over this sugya, over this gemara, killing myself, staying up night after night to understand the pshat. That's the biggest menucha. What's happened in the life of this person is he brings. I don't have time to read inside. That usually the nights are a time for sleeping. That's called the domain of rishus. The night is a time optional up, optional rest. But it's a time of rishus. The day is a time where we're chayv to be up and around and do what we have to do. Meaning, hopefully, learning and davening, mitzvahs, all kinds of things, whatever we do. When you have a person, vayar menucha ki toiv, that the greatest menucha for him is to stay up all night long learning Torah. Vayar menucha ki toiv, vayet shechem alizma. The greatest menucha for him is that he has conquered the optional time of rest and sleep with what? The Kovet Shemaim extends into his night, which is a time of sleep and rest, which is a time of personal use, a time of rishus. And this king who wears the crown of Torah has converted this territory that until now was not a time of Kovet Shemaim, it was a time of a guy just lying in bed. And he's converted this into a time of what? Kovet Shemaim, of learning. Or Tikkun Chatzos, or his Avodah, whatever he does over there. But his Baidus. But he's converted into a time of Kovet Shemaim. So this is somebody, this is a person who is wearing the crown of Torah. Because here we have Malchus, the Malchus of a Jew, where there's new territory, uncharted territory, that has now been brought into the domain of Kedusha. Until now, a Fashlufen Etzayit, a time that was asleep. That's fine. You're allowed to sleep at night. The Gemara says the nights were given for sleep. That's fine. But over time, this person, his menucha, the time of resting, the time of relaxing, to him was conquered by the amelus of Torah, by working hard. That person already, we're talking here about, Ein Ma'amid Melech, El Al Pi Sanhedrin. Here is where the Sanhedrin of the daytime of Amelis and Torah has established a Malchus of a Jew who has the greatest menucha, staying up all night learning Torah and conquering thousands of hours over the course of his lifetime, bringing them into the world of Kedusha when the rest of the world is either sleeping or God forbid doing Aveiros. And he has brought this now into a place, into the Tchum of Avodas Hashem. This is called Ein Ma'amid Melech Ela Al Pi Sanhedrin, and that's the world of B'chol Drachecha De'eyu, to serve Hashem with everything that you have. That's the tachlis of our lives. To make that tchum of Kedusha bigger and bigger and bigger as we grow older, to expand the borders of Kedusha. And even though we're not talking here about, like I said, Reb Chaim Oizer, Mehemes, but each in our own lives, that the malchus of these decisions that we make should be informed by the Sanhedrin of our lives, should be influenced and uplifted by the Torah that we learn and by the mitzvahs that we keep. To the extent that we extend our lives of Kedusha into the world of Rishus, we will be able to have a healthy Malchus when it comes to raising our children and making those day-by-day decisions of what's best for them, what's best for our families, and what's best for Am Yisrael. I mean, you should be zeichet to have such thoughts. And Chelik Beis will be Shavuos night.